Morning, church.
Morning.
Norm and Jenny are in Tennessee. They got there safely. Thank you, Jesus, for getting there safely. So we don't care how loud the drums are today. Also, I want to introduce you to a young lady that maybe you haven't seen in a while. We're just so glad. Her name is Flo. Can you all say hello to Flo? Welcome, Flo. Let's stand up and pray together this morning as they do in the Bible. Imagine that, as they do in any church. Lord, let us draw closer to you today, Lord. Let our hearts be open to receive you today, Lord. Let us see who you are. Let us know who you are. Let us acknowledge who you are, our Father who art in heaven, Lord. We thank you for this day that wasn't promised yesterday. Oh, my God. We are here today because of your grace. So let us enjoy God. Let us draw closer. And let us draw closer to each other this morning in God's house. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Please be ready if you would, Kia G. Madison fell down in the bathtub last week.
Oh, no.
She just hadn't been taking, she hadn't been eating because she's going to another prom and she's all nerved up, hasn't been eating, worried about this and that and the other. And she just got too tired, overworked. And was, I only tell you this because nothing happened to her. Nothing. Not her head, not nothing, except that floozy thing that she uses. She fell out on the floor. Was that floof? Floofa? So I want you to know that the first thing I thought of was thank you, Jesus, because he heard our prayer. He answers all them kind of prayers for us every day. Amen. And we're so proud and happy to have you guys back with us all the way from Florida. Thank you for wanting to spend this beautiful Sunday morning with us. And we just love you. And you're going to do better and better. That's how it works. It takes time. Sometimes you feel like you're going back down here, but that's a trick for the devil. You know, we all don't feel good sometimes. Amen. How many know that's true? No matter how good you feel, there are days you just don't feel good. Right. But God is going to take, you know, we're just so glad that you're here today with us. And be blessed. So, right, honey?
Yes, sir.
How are we doing? Good?
Good. You're on the roll.
I know, I'm good. God gives me a message, and you might have thought I was a little early, but there was something on TV this week and something this morning I saw called the religion of AI. That they're going to be able to tell you what you were thinking. They're going to be able to read your mind. And they can read, and they're going to give you the scriptures according to AI. And I want to remind you that nobody can understand the Bible. Amen. Nobody can read the Bible and understand it. You understand the Bible through the Holy Spirit. Understand what that means when they start telling you. The Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So you cannot understand the words of God and the Spirit of God without the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, period. You can read the words and know what they mean, but you don't know what the Spirit was saying. You don't understand the depth of love that God has. No AI will understand the depth of love from God, because God is our Father. He created all this. Amen? So understand, when you start hearing that, you ask somebody, what does the Spirit say? And I guarantee if they don't know the Word of God, they will tell you they don't know. And they will tell you that you're wrong. And you cannot be wrong, because you cannot understand that, again, one more time, the Bible without having the Spirit inside you, where it comes to source. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is who? God. And that's, I just want to give you that again, because I know more and more it's coming. And again, I saw it this morning. They call it the religion of AI. I want you to understand that's a lie from the pits of hell. And Satan's going to use that really well unless we understand that the Bible is the Spirit of God. Heavenly. So thank you. You all want to stand with us and sing one more? We hope you do. We hope that you do. And we're going to sing. I think we did this recently. And I want, for other reason, to do it again today. You all sing with it. Just a closer walk with God. That's the best path anybody can be on. And can you be Greg, if you would? Ready?
Is mine.
because I love the first line. You ready? Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Be seated and enjoy your day with the church. Amen. Give God praise if you want to. Just remember, he doesn't need your praise. He loves your praise, but he doesn't need it. Because he said, if we stop praising him, what? The rocks and the walls would praise him. Amen. And so he can have rocks and walls praise him, but without you, I think that wants more of you to pray. I think that should give you an incentive to praise our Father in where?
Heaven.
This Walter-like story, but so I got the husband and wife were driving, the pastor and his wife were driving in the car, and the cop pulled him over, and he's sitting there, and the cop asked him for his license, and gave him the license. And he said, have you been drinking? And the pastor said, no, I haven't been drinking. And the cop looked down and said, well, that's a bottle of wine that your wife's feet right open, and the bottle's open. He said, what? And the pastor looked over and said, no, honey, he did it again. You guys are easy. Responsive reading. Imagine that when you go to church, you've got to read the Bible too. Am I, I'm supposed to read the Bible. No, you're supposed to read the Bible also. So I'll help you first. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are pleasurable.
They are so pleasurable. He works, his work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. Isn't that wonderful? He's made his wonderful works to be remembered. You see it every day. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Yeah, the works of his hands are very verity and justice, all his precepts are sure. He has sent redemption to his people. Thank you, Lord. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded the covenant forever, holy and awesome is his name. That means you can get closer to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote that. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm going to hold off on reading the scripture reading because we are going to read them. But I like to read them in the path of the sermon this morning, a little bit different. Because those scriptures are going to be in the sermon and I'm going to get to them and read them when we're there. So please keep your bulletin right by your hand and have that ready when we do that, okay? Thank you, Lord. How many cherubims were made to put on the mercy seat of the ark? Remember the Ark of the Covenant? We talked about that. How many cherubims that were angels were made to put on the Ark of the Covenant? The cherubim and the ark and the seat and all that wonderful things. How many? Two, four, or six? How many cherubims were made to put on the mercy seat of the ark? How many think there were two? Two angels. How many think there were four? Anybody, we get four. How many with six? We got six. We got a couple of six. Two, four, six.
Two.
First of all, they were made of beautiful gold, and they were placed one on each end. They were two. The angels leaned over with their wings open, protecting over the seat, over the mercy seat. And who sits on the mercy seat? Anybody?
Jesus.
Jesus sits on the mercy seat, and he's your advocate. So what are your chances of getting in? I say pretty good. Amen? Really? He is your advocate, and he sits on the mercy seat. Can you have it fixed any better? And all you got to do is love him. Accept him in your heart. You don't have to do card tricks. You just have to love him in your heart.
Wow.
Why did they bring Abishag, or I knew I was going to do that. That's too easy. Why did they bring Abishag to King David? They brought Abishag to be his wife, to be his nurse, or to keep him warm. Why did they bring Abishag to King David? How many think to be his wife? We got wife? How about to be his nurse? We get nurses. How about to keep him warm? You guys can read your Bible. He could not get warm. Some said he needed a woman to warm him. This was not physical. This was not a physical relationship. This was body to body. That he could not, he was a little older, amen? And you know you can't get warm, so they brought her to keep him warm. 1 Kings, he could not get warm. That was a good answer, guys. That's great. This one takes a little more thought. Paul instructs, what's going on back there?
Jim said, how can I get one of those?
Who said that?
Jim, Deacon Jim.
You threw Deacon Jim under the bus. He said, he's a little chilly today, folks. Say nothing, so true. Paul instructs the Jews to avoid what type of teaching? Paul instructs the Jews to avoid what type of teaching? From the Jewish teachers? Those who cause division contrary to the Bible? Or he instructs them to avoid the laws of Moses? Paul instructs the Jews to avoid what type of teaching? How many think from the Jewish teachers to avoid that? How about those who cause division contrary to the Bible? Or how about the laws of Moses? Anybody with the laws of Moses?
How about AI?
How about knocking out of the park? Paul instructed Jews to avoid the teachings of AI. And those who cause division contrary to the Bible. Which is what? AI. I am not your computer genius. That goes to Brother John and Brother Fred. But I can tell you that AI isn't going to cut it with religion, amen? And I just told you before, but understand, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. When you read that book and you start to tear up over something, that's the Spirit rejoicing that you're getting it. That's a beautiful thing. According to Isaiah, how does the Lord say he will destroy Egypt? This one's really interesting. According to Isaiah, how does the Lord say he will destroy Egypt? By a plague, by a fire, or a civil war?
Fire.
How about plague? We get plague? How many think fire? He's going to destroy Egypt. How about a civil war? He's going to destroy Egypt by a civil war. Please keep that in your mind. God, according to Isaiah, said he's going to destroy Egypt by a civil war.
Wow.
Understand the depth of that. A civil war, not from any other country outside, because they couldn't destroy it. And what destroyed the Roman Empire? A civil war, a division, north and south. They divided and they split the kingdom, which made the kingdom weaker. That's how, I used to wonder, how does something so powerful get destroyed? From within. Please keep that in mind, amen? That's just from the Bible. And I got one more today. What did Isaiah do as a sign about the destruction of Egypt? Isaiah is the prophet. What did he do as a sign about the destruction of Egypt? Did he sacrifice two bulls on the altar? Did he walk naked? Or he tore his clothes in sackcloth and ashes? What did Isaiah do? Did he sacrifice two bulls on the altar? We get that? How about walk naked? Did he walk naked? How about he tore his clothes in sackcloth and ashes? I know we've done this one before, because I know it's a... What did Isaiah do as a sign about the destruction of Egypt? He walked naked among the people.
Amber, you got it. Gentlemen, you get it.
He walked naked to show them they will have nothing. They will be without anything. They will be enslaved and they will be led naked. Flo, I didn't mean to upset you. That's in Isaiah 20. That's a great story. God gave that to him. He walked naked as a sign that someday you're going to be enslaved and you're going to be led naked by the destruction of Egypt. Wow. That's God. Those are your Bible questions. Give yourself some praise. Come on. Have some joy in your heart this morning. Good to see you guys. We'll pray later and we'll get together. It's good to see you. Thank you. Flo, it's good to see you back with us.
Oh, it's good to be back.
Thank you.
My friends. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I have some questions for you to answer, not the quiz. How many of you are afraid of God? Fear of God. Anybody fear God? How many of you are afraid of God? Anybody? How many churches are afraid of God? Have you fear of God? How many preachers are afraid of God? How many preachers have the fear of God? If the answer is none and nobody, I believe there lies the problem. If you're not afraid of God, what do you think God, who do you think God is? What do you think God is capable of if we don't fear him? And we're going to get really into this because when you said fear the Lord, what does it mean? But I believe that the churches are not afraid of God. Jim, would you believe me? Would you agree with me? I believe there are preachers preaching the word of God who are not afraid of God. They don't fear God. I'm talking about God. Who am I talking about? God. Our Father, where? Total reverence, deep respect, admiration. In your bulletin is Luke 12:5. I'm going to read that for you. Luke 12:5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And him is capitalized, so him stands for who? God. And who is saying this? Jesus. I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has the power to send you to hell. I would tell these churches, I would tell every pastor I meet, every preacher, I would tell you to fear him. To take liberty with the word of God is an abomination. I would stand on anybody's pulpit, I would stand anywhere in anybody's church and say to take liberty with the word of God is an abomination. I will do that in a second. To take God for granted is not love. It is not faith and it's not being obedient. To fear God is something though. And what is it in your bulletin? I direct you to Proverbs 1:7. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh my dear. To fear God is what? The beginning of what? Knowledge. And again, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we just learned to fear God is a good thing. Can I get an amen? It's a good thing that God doesn't act on your request, on your words and your desires. Good thing he just doesn't. You say it, he does it. Okay, you said it, God said, I will do it. And you say, done. Yeah, interesting, right? Would you respect God who did that? Who acted on your request? Would you fear God then if he acted on your request? This is interesting. This is interesting. If he just did what you asked him when you snapped your finger, Would you respect God who did that? Would you fear him? Maybe you wouldn't have the chance to find out. Why? Maybe you made someone else so upset that they asked God to damn you first. And God answered that request first. Then you would never be here to find out if he answered your request. Amen? That's the God, that's the power that he has. And again, God, thank God that he is God. That's beautiful. But I have to tell you the truth. Must I? Yes, you must. God has a breaking point. Anybody say amen? Amen. God has a breaking point. We all read about Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Gone. Everything gone. Because God has what? A breaking point. There was a time where God said, that's it, no more. Don't even turn around, because if you turn around and are sorry for it, you're done too. In the book of Psalm 7:11 says this. I didn't get this one in the bulletin. I found it late. But God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalm 7:11. Moses, in the book of Numbers, Moses, God says to Moses, ready? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield water, the Lord commanded. He told Moses, speak to the rock, and it will yield water, and that was his commandment to Moses. Moses takes a walk, goes in front of the people, and he says, here you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out.
Oops.
Right? And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Because you did not believe me, to hallow me, to honor me, in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, Walter, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given to them. He has a breaking point. It was done in front of the assembly of all the children of Israel. It was done in a church. It was done in front of believers. He told Moses what to do, and Moses did not do what God told him to do. So Moses got the glory. God didn't get the glory, and he didn't have. He just said, speak to the rock, and said, Lord will deliver that water. Did he do it? No. And it gets a little further in the book of Numbers, and we learn that representatives of the congregation, that would be you guys, who contended against Moses and Aaron, they contended against God. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah when the company died, when the fire devoured 250 men. These congregation of people went to Moses and they were complaining against who? God. In front of the rest of the congregation, there were all the people. There was Moses in there, and there's these people just yelling out and complaining and commanding that they do something else. God has a breaking point. What happens? The earth opened up and they're gone. 250. Like that. God has a breaking point. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Wow, Pastor, that's crazy. Yes. Do you think the churches should start bearing him now? You think preachers should? You know, David and I talk about something, and he said it long before. He said when he has to come up and do a sermon, he said the first thing he said is, I better be right in God's eyes, because the Bible says when you preach the word, when you're telling people and teaching the word, you better be right. Or you better in your heart be right. You better have the scriptures behind you, amen? I think the more preachers should be afraid of God instead of so content and so easy. Well, I can have liberty with the word of God, because that's an abomination. I said it before, and I'll say it to anybody who will listen. Fear. Any. We. I fear them. We don't sin against man. What did David tell us? We don't sin against man. Yeah, you hurt somebody. You might sin, break a rule, but who do we sin against? God. Every time you sin, every time you walk away from God, it's a
sin. And maybe God had that breaking point. I don't want to know. I don't want to get back up. Trust me, I give him enough reasons to have a breaking point. All my life, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not perfect. I never was, I never will be. But one thing I do know is I love the Word of God, and I love God, and I don't want to be wrong. And when I teach you guys about things, I believe it's a message from God. When I'm writing them, and I'm writing and writing and writing, I believe that God is filling my heart. When I'm studying my scriptures, and I'm studying from the websites that I read, and sometimes I don't agree with it. Amen? That's a good thing. When I'm doing my studies and reading Webster and reading other opinions, I say, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with this. And then I pray. And so if somebody came to this church and he was an expert, he might not agree with everything I say. God bless you. Prove me wrong. But I'm saying to you that God has a breaking point. And we don't sin against man, we sin against God. Churches sin against God. They're teaching things that are an abomination. That's the truth. And they're teaching good that's bad and bad that's good. And the Word of God is bad. And don't listen to God because God is hate. Oh, there's slavery in the Bible. Yeah, you ought to read about how they took care of that. And what God talked about that. And how different it is than their eyes see it. Amen? They should have reverent fear. They should, when they preach, should go a little slower. Think a little bit more before they introduce something that's not in Scripture. They don't have any fear, so if they don't have fear, they don't worry about what they say. Thank you, Lord. So I say this. Understanding who God is. Respect is not exactly fear. Fear causes us to learn discipline. Anybody in the service? I wasn't in the service. Dave, when you got in the service and you met that first sergeant, you had a lot, right? When he said, stand up, yes, sir. Sit down, yes, sir. Walk over there, yes, sir. Because fear instilled, you know, that discipline. To learn respect, fear tells us that there is a cost to breaking the law. You see, you learn respect. Man's laws and especially God's laws in your bulletin. Again, Luke 12:5. With that one, I read that one already because I had that twice. We'll read it again. But I show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Fear tells us that there's a cost to breaking the law. Amen? Man's laws, and especially God's. And we see what's happening today. We see it in the world when man's not afraid to break man's laws. How many see that every day? You see people who are not afraid to break man's laws. You can have any political view you want on anything, but when you see people continually hurting other people and breaking the rules and smashing things and taking things, you know that they're not afraid of man's laws. So if they're not afraid of man's laws, they probably don't give a darn about God's laws. But you see it with your eyes. You know what it looks like. Each path we choose daily should be guided by His light and His love. It's that simple. Would God want me to do this? Would God help me to do this? And will God lead me to do this? Can I just do this with God? And you'll have the answer. You'll know. Either way, He will help you. He will let you go. He will open a door. He will shut a door in front of you. And I've seen Him shut doors with people. And He's done it to me, where you just can't get through there. No matter what you do, you can't because God said, I'm not going to let you. I believe that with all my heart. I really do. To serve God. How to serve God? We should serve each other, fellow believers. That's how you serve God. You know that? You say, serve God, but good, you serve each other. That's how God would want it. It would. That's how He would want us, to serve each other, to serve other believers. Each other. How do you know that God is responsible for providing for you? You ever think about that? He is responsible for providing. You might not have everything right this minute, but He's responsible for that. In your bulletin, Matthew 6:33. Ready? But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Well, what's all these things? Well, if you read a little back, 6:32 said, He's supplied for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Who's your Heavenly Father? God. He knows that you need all these things. He knows it. So the Bible said, the book said, He's going to provide it. Sometimes you have to be a little patient. Sometimes you have to be real patient. I don't know why. Maybe He's waiting for you to pray something. Maybe He's waiting for things to change how He wants. You know, when you ask God to do things, it always has to bless both people. Remember that sermon? When you pray for something, you got to find a way that God can put. Maybe they don't even deserve blessing. But see, that's how Jesus works. We don't deserve all the blessings either. Amen? So when you pray for something, ask God to do, you know, find them in favor of something else or help them or whatever you're praying for, that it works where God can work on both ends. Amen? Because He wants to bless everyone. He doesn't give up on anybody. So you might say, I can't even pray for that person. Yes, you can. You just say, Lord, bless them. And you pray for them. But while you're blessing them, Lord, this is my need. Find favor with God. That's how you do it. He's responsible for that. We serve God, why? To honor Him. That's why you come to church. And that's why less and less people are coming to church, because they don't even know who God is. They won't honor Him. You get up on Sunday morning and come to church to honor Him. Oh, I watch TV on every Sunday. That ain't honoring Him. I know you're watching a TV ministry. That ain't honoring Him. When you get up and go to church and guess what? It's a beautiful day. I got a million things to do. So, no, I'm going to honor Him for an hour and 20 minutes. That's honoring and thanking Him for all that He did for you the whole week. No matter good or bad, He got you through because you're here today. That's it. Oh, I didn't count that as a prayer answer. We got Norm and Jenny. They're in Tennessee. I prayed for them all the way down. Oh, and they having a great time. I think, thank you, Lord. That's a prayer answer. See, I want the little prayers. They're going to add up. We serve God to honor Him. An open expression of thanksgiving, acknowledging what He has done for us and what He is doing for us. Hallelujah. Serving is giving. Serving is doing. As we do it in His name, guess what? He gets the glory. Our Father in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Fear equals serve, which equals love. A deep desire to please, the giver of all good things. The giver of grace. Thank you, Lord. The giver of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. And the giver of answered prayers. When you serve God and you're giving, you're serving the one who's going to answer your prayer. I'm not going to answer your prayer. God's going to answer your prayer. That's why you're serving Him. Matthew 28:20-28 is not in your Bible. I'll read it to you. But Matthew 20:28 said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to serve. He's asking us to serve each other. The giver of answered prayers. We should never fear God out of terror. Can I get an amen, please? We should not be afraid to make mistakes or to fail, to make God mad. That is not love or worship. Yet we must be aware, be conscious of who we serve. God Himself. When you look at the stars at night, when you look at the blue sky, when you look at the mountain, everything that you see, God. That's who you serve. You should be aware of the depth of His power and who He is. The awe-ness of God. Aware of what God can do and what in past days He has done. This book, that's why we read it. To understand what He has done and what He will do. And the why that brought God to the point of no return, you see? That's the ticket in the Bible. When you see all the destruction and you see all the things that He did, there's a why. Amen? So you learn why He did what He did and understand why He did what He did with those people, with Moses, and why He did what He did with Aaron and Moses. Because they were, the people's eyes were on them, not on God. And they went around God in front of the congregation. And they did their things, and they did it in front of God. Amen? So we have to be aware of that so that we, as a church, don't do that. But even more, you, in your home, in your church at home, your house, the beautiful places you have, that church you live in, that place you have all your belongings, you want to understand, you want that to be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Our promises, and I wrote this and I believe this, if you want to, amen. Our promises are too great for our mortal minds to comprehend. These promises are for us. I think that when I start talking about the time to come and all the things that we're talking about, it's too much for your mortal mind to really comprehend. Because the greatness of God, you can't even, but it's your promise. Hebrews 12:28 in your bulletin. One more time. Therefore, Walter.
Final word.
Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly what? Fear. Hallelujah. And one more. 1 John 4 in your bulletin. He who does not know love does not know God, for God is what?
Love.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Hallelujah. We're getting close, I'm sorry. Our God is a consuming fire. That's what it said in Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. Ouch. I'll tell you what, the fear, the alternate kind of condition. If you're with God or against God, I would fear the against God part. There's two sides of every story. Right? If you love God with all your heart and you don't even know him, I would fear that condition, not knowing who God is. We cannot, are you ready? This is one for your refrigerator. We cannot create God in our own image. We're trying to tame God, to feel comfortable with God, to be permissive and create a tolerant God. We cannot do that, nor should we do that. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, I know God. I got a friend of mine who says, I have God in my own way. And trust me, he's got God in his own way. And the last 10 years of his life, he's been nothing but depressed, where people can't even go to visit him because he's so depressed. And he's lived over 90 years, and he's got music, and he has friends who can't talk to him anymore because he's so depressed. But don't get in his way, because he has God in his own way. I want to call him and say, how's that working for you? But I know him well enough, but maybe I should. I know there's people here who know I'm talking about. You cannot create God in your own image. To increase your faith, we must step out in faith to increase it. We must reach out in faith to increase it. Not just for you, but more, I've been telling you every week, for others. Reach out for others. That's faith. Reaching out and reaching. Thank you, Lord. Everybody ever say something you regret? Yeah? Some words that hurt somebody else's heart? Someone you profess to love? That's funny, isn't it? We can love someone so much yet say something hurtful to them. How can we do that? Well, one, because we're human. Your mom, I've done that with mom. Your dad, I had to be careful with dad. He'd straighten me up. Your children, your spouse, your friends. Of course, you never want to do that. Yet we do. In your heart, there rises up a fear. Listen to this. This is coming to the end now. Let's put it together. In your heart, after you do that, there rises up a fear. And what's the fear? That you're capable of doing that, causing pain to those you love. You're capable because you just admitted that if you do, you're capable of that. And that should draw up a fear in your heart. What's the fear? The fear of hurting another brings up a new depth of love for them. Understand that. When you fear doing that, you all of a sudden have a different depth of love because you're going to try to do what? Protect them. Amen. Understand that. You're going to try to protect them from who? From you. Because you said something you know that hurt their heart. And not only did it hurt their heart, here's the crazy part. It hurt your heart more when you found out. Amen. It made you feel worse. You say, I never want them to feel that way, that hurt again. And I never want to feel that pain in my heart again. That fear turns into love. Reverence. An awakening of how much others mean to you. Wow. How about how much God means to you? Have a fear in your heart that you will disappoint him. Which, that's a crazy word, right? That you will let him down, right? Those aren't the things. But it said that God in heaven can be grieved Isn't that interesting? It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I looked up three things. To resist the Holy Spirit grieves him. To quench the Holy Spirit grieves him. And to rebel against the Holy Spirit grieves God. See, that fear just makes you want to love him more. That you don't want to do that. I don't want to grieve God, so I got to love him more. I got to be more aware of what I say and what I do and how I act and how I treat others and how I treat my wife and our children and our grandchildren and my friends and people that I haven't even met before, how I treat them. Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ has loved us, love each other. Psalm 56 said, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. And finally, church, Proverbs 19 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. I love God. Give God praise. You know, even a sadder thing in the Bible, even when he split the ground and those people fell in, it didn't matter. They still messed up after that. They still built a calf out of gold. So all the miracles that God did and all the miracles that Jesus did didn't change the hearts of a lot of people. And Dave and I always say that if I can split the Housatonic River, people would come here. Yeah, they'd come here to see me do that, but that still would run closer to God. It would be a car trip. You see, so it's individually that we love him. And you trusting God, you by yourself, you and God, when you get along with God, you and God, and that builds up, and the body builds up together. When you love him and you start to love each other, it builds up the body of this church. We're all happy to see Flo because we missed her. But you see, little things build up the body, and we have to see that. Hallelujah. So when you fear him, you don't fear him like you're afraid of him. You fear him in awe and respect of who he is. And that he's loved you so much, even though you've fallen down and fallen down and fallen down, and he still loves you. He picks you up and picks you up and picks you up because that's who he is, and that's his love is never ending. And his forgiveness is never ending. That's what we have to try to do and make this church shine. And you go out in the world and you have that light shining and you draw people. I'm still trying. I'm still not giving up. I believe that God wants the people to hear this message. And I just thank you for listening to us. So give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There was a man in the 1500s. I got this story. Who was a wonderful preacher. Very powerful in the church. And people loved him. And he had a large ministry in his writings. He followed the Bible. Write down, follow the Bible. But he would not say that when you did the Lord's Supper that it turned into the body of Christ and the wine turned into the blood. He wouldn't say that. He said that that's not what the Bible says. Either way, he said it wasn't what the Bible said. So he said, I never teach that. He was brought into the church administration and they demanded and commanded him to say it. You teach that. He said, I teach the Bible. I'm doing what you said, but I can't teach that. They brought him to town and they burned him to death because he wouldn't do that. Yet he followed the word of God right down. But authorities in the church that he would, the big headquarters said, either you do that or you die. He said, well, I ain't going to do that. I'm not worried about dying. God, he knew, believed everything. He believed, you know, to be absent from the body. He knew the word of God. So they put him in a barrel and they lit the barrel on fire and they killed him because he wouldn't teach that. Imagine that. Not that it even mattered that if it did or didn't. If I told you that it did, you still look at me and say, well, how? Or if I told you that it doesn't. You see, I tell you, if you think it does, hallelujah. We've had people here who come to church and believe that's it. Hallelujah, right? What is it to me if somebody else received, but it was important to them to have that kind of authority. And it was quite a long story. Actually, I was going to bring it in, but it really was a long story. But the people were all, when they brought him to, you know, they had to go in caravans and bring him to the, where the with the main headquarters where all the people followed, his congregation followed, they were praying for him, and he wasn't upset. His wife, his family, they were praying. They all went there until they did that to him. He just said, I can't teach it because the Bible doesn't say that. Wow, I think of that. And like I said, what difference does it make to you? If you feel like it does, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. If you say, no, it's just what he did, and I'm doing what he did, and I'm using some grape juice, and I'm using the wafer, but I'm remembering. What is it? I'm remembering what Jesus did for me on that cross, because that's all he said. Do this in remembrance of me. See, that was a great story with a sad ending for me. I will tell you to take your wafer. I will tell you that the Bible said he took the bread and blessed it and broke the bread. He gave them a piece of bread. And he said, this is my body being torn for you. He said, eat this and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name. The Bible does say that we have to take the sacrament of his blood with a clean heart. So I ask you just to say, Lord, forgive me for my iniquities, any doubts and fears and words and deeds that I've done this week that separated me from you. For we don't sin against man, we sin against God. But Lord, forgive me. You ask him from your heart. He knows your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me. Took the wine and poured it into a cup. He said, this is going to be my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Drink in Jesus' name. Thank you. Be healed this morning, church. Somebody get a healing this morning. Somebody get a word of knowledge this morning. Somebody get a prophecy. Somebody see the greatness of what God can do, even in this congregation that we have. You see, in the days of Paul, they met in small congregations. They didn't have a big church. So when we have a Bible study and there's like 20 people at the Bible study, imagine in the days of Paul, the little congregation, if they had 20 people, what a celebration that is, for a Bible study in a little congregation. They didn't have churches at every corner. They met in people's houses. They met and they read the word together in people's houses. So we can't look at, we don't have 100 people and say, God's not here. Oh, he's here all right. And we have the word of God, but we have the Bible. There's Bible. God's word is in the house. Love him like that. Understand the depth of what we're believing. And just see God in the little things and then you'll see him in the big things. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Be afraid of God is to love him with all your heart. Reverence who he is. Understand who he is, what he's done for you, what he can do for you. Not to be afraid that he's going to hurt you. That's not the God. That's not worship. That's not love. But to be in awe of who you're praying to. Awe of who's answering your prayer. You're calling on God. You're calling on the creator of all things. If it be worth it, behoove you to love him and to be aware of who he is. And give him that reverence. When you pray to him, don't be so. Yes, thank you. Don't be saying, oh God, yeah, by the way, no. Be in reverence when you pray. And the Bible says, go to him and go on your knees and be alone with him in the closet. Shut the door so it's you and him when you pray. To give him that respect. And when you go and pray, bring him a sacrifice. Not an offering, not you don't bring money in, but give him a sacrifice. Give him you. Give him your heart. Say, Lord, I don't know what to say or how to say it, Lord, but just, Lord, know that I love you and thank you for all the things you've done for me. See, that's a sacrifice of praise. Bring him a sacrifice. Bring him an offering of love and respect and listen to how he will answer you and see that. And see your brothers and sisters in prayer. And when you reach out to them, you're reaching out to God. Understand that we help each other. We're helping God. When you reach out to that lady at the grocery store, or your cousin, or your brother, or your sister, or somebody on Facebook, you're reaching out to God to save somebody. You have that power. So when you pray to God, you're praying to the giver of that power and the answered prayer. So thank you, Lord. for this day. Thank you, Lord, for those in attendance today that came here, Lord. Just ask you to bless them and keep them safe. And our traveling mercies, bless our Bible study Tuesday night, Lord. Just fill us with awe and fill us with wonder and open hearts to receive that. Thank you, Lord. And one more thing, Lord. Bless the United States of America, our home. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And I will add one more thing. You make your face shine to God. And you turn your face towards God this week. Thank you, Lord. And Brother Zippy, if you would.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white and foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home.